to consider, we have a time of prayer. And it's not efficient, that prayer. The prayer is not going to God. It's going around the ceiling and nothing else. You can't go there. In the presence of God, in our prayers, we need to follow God's example, Lord Jesus Christ's example. I'm going to read a short introduction until I will go in the meaning of prayer, because I think it's very important to understand. I have some thoughts. I put it on the paper here. Just I want to share with you because we don't have too much time. But I will, if you are very careful what I'm going to read, we will understand. I'm going from the beginning in a very short time. From the beginning of creation, God's desire was to have communion with all He created, to sustain and keep and bless everything on earth. The crown of His creation was the man. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. We can find in Genesis 1:27. He created him male and female. He created them. God created for man a special environment, a garden, wonderful garden of Eden. And every day, in the cool of the day, they meet together in fellowship as a family. So God, in Genesis 3:8, we can read about this. The communion God wants to have with man who created, as a family. After the fall, so this fellowship was a fellowship as a family fellowship, a relation, a communion. After the fall of man to disobedience, the sin came as like a wall of separation between God and man. And the relation, the wonderful relation and communion, what was before, was changed dramatically. God is holy and man became unholy. God created man very complex, as a spirit, three parts: spirit, the breath of God to give life, soul, and body. But after falling in sin, the spirit of man, who contained the spirit of God, or if I can say it like a Roman say, the spirit of man is one with the spirit of God. The spirit of God came in the spirit of man and became one spirit with God. Yeah? The spirit of God was not anymore in the spirit of man. So the spirit of man, who contained the spirit of God, was one with the spirit of God, became dead, separated from God. This is a spiritual death. From that time, man continued to have his spirit in relation with the soul, who is the mind, will, and emotion, and the body. And the body also was very big, was affected by the results of disobedience and sin. God wants to rehabilitate man in the initial created state of creation in perfect harmony with Him. And He made a plan of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ, Genesis 3:15. But because God created us like Him, with the freedom of will, freedom of choice, He offered to humankind in all the history possibilities to reconcile to God in many ways. The price, the wages of sin is death, the Bible said. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. In Hebrews 9:22, in fact, the law required that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is not forgiveness of sin. Rehabilitation in initial position with God require a price, a substitution. The life is in the blood, said the Bible. The substitution in that time The sacrifices in that time was the animal blood. Life of the price of death. First altar we see in human history, first altar when the people are starting to do sacrifices to come close to God again, to try rehabilitation, was Abel and Cain. The first two brothers, the first two beings who was born after Adam and Eve. And from then, it's coming two lines of sacrifices, even on our days. The lines of sacrifices of believers who are going to follow what God wants, and the lines of sacrifices of unbelievers. They too bring sacrifices. And we see Satan was, from the beginning, the deceiver. He wanted to copy God in everything. So he demanded sacrifices on his altars for the false gods. But his time, from that time, he wants also human sacrifices. I don't want to speak too much in our days, but even today's, they are regions, they are altars where people bring human sacrifices. And even other things that happen around us, I don't want to speak too much about that. That blood, it's the sacrifices for Satan. So, God offering possibility to everyone to reconcile with Him in a form, to come before Him in a form or a sacrifice, to bring before Him like an altar. So we see from Abel, Abraham, Job, in the humankind history, beginning sacrifices and bringing offerings to God. When you are coming close to God, you have to bring something. You have to, it's not required. Today, nowadays, I want to say it's specific, very clear. Nowadays, we don't need to bring that kind of sacrifices like was before. But when we come before God, we have to have a specific attitude with our body, with our soul, and with our spirit. So we see from Abraham, Jacob, before the law of Moses, that was before the law of Moses, they came to bring sacrifice to God in faith. God wanted to organize this in a way to be acceptable for Him, and call Moses on the mountain, showing him specific laws and rituals and covenants, like a contract. In Exodus 25, if you want to read at home, we will find it's exactly the text our brother Charles read it from Hebrew 8:5. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountains. The sanctuary Moses was going to build was a copy and shadow of what it is in heaven. So in heaven, it's a reality. And Moses, to Moses was shown how to do it. The tent, the tabernacle, was the first one, because before the temple of Solomon, big and huge and expensive temple, was the tabernacle in the middle of the people of Israel. And Moses, that was, I can say, they installed it for a while, and after they moved, they installed it again. The tabernacle, I want to bring you in your mind, I want to use your imagination. The tabernacle as being a square place where was a fence around. It's very specific in the Bible, exactly. I'm not to go in details. I'm not going to come with details here. If you want to find out in the Bible, we have everything. But I want to bring this sanctuary, this place where God wants to meet with people in a specific way, a clear way. He tried to explain Moses, and Moses to tell to the people how to bring the sacrifice. If you want to bring a lamb, if you want to bring, something else before God, they have to be done in order. and in a specific way, in a specific way, for God to accept that sacrifice. Because we know what's happened in the garden. The first two, Abel and Cain, they both put on their own altar their sacrifices, but only one was accepted because it was after God's will. So if we come to God and want to bring sacrifices, we have to bring prayers, we have to come close to Him, we need to come as He wants, not as we want or other people want. So this was the three distinct, want to, as I say, use your imagination, three distinct space in that part. The first one was the outer courtyard. Outer courtyard, the first was the holy place, and the third part was the Holy of Holies. If you are going in a church, in traditional church, big churches like Orthodox churches, Catholic churches, most of the churches, they still have these compartments. The church is like a temple, is like a tabernacle, is like a place where people can come close to God. Yeah? And even nowadays, we can see in some of the churches who wants to keep the ritual in the Old Testament, most of them, it's a mixture there. It's not supposed to be like this. Before Lord Jesus Christ, yes. After Lord Jesus Christ, it was changed completely, dramatically. But some of the churches, because of lack of knowledge, some of the people, their religions, if I say that Christian religions, they still have these three compartments. So we are looking now in few minutes just what's happening in each of them. I'm not going in detail. They are extremely details there. Very many details there. I'm not going to. What's happened in the outer court, the holy place, the middle place, because they are separated between these three, and the Holy of Holies. Now we come to me, to you. Now we come to understand how we are structured. First, we have to understand that in all these three parts of tabernacle, the object in the places, they symbolize the three main parts of man and its functions. The outer court symbolize the body. The holy place represent the soul. As I said, mind, will, emotions, ration, mind, thinking. The Holy of Holies represent the Spirit. So as I said, even in our traditional churches, we can see a special, after the altar, it's a special place where only the priests go inside. Nobody else. I was raised in an Orthodox church. So I tried to find out God there and my salvation. Unfortunately, I couldn't. Because there are too many things happened before to reach God there. So, Lord Jesus came to change things. But what I want to bring before you this morning, before that is very important, each part of you. What's happened in the outer court, the first part was a big court, it was a big yard, yeah? When everybody can come to bring their sacrifices there. Everyone who wants to come to God. Everyone was free to go inside there with their sacrifices, and they give the sacrifices to the priest, and there was an altar, a big altar, when the sacrifice was done there on the altar. And also was a laver, it's like a bowl, big bowl, yeah, full with water, made for copper or the materials to reflect like a mirror, full with water, and that was represented a symbolic cleansing of hands and feet. So first of all, everybody can come inside, first part, they bring their offerings, yeah, they wash their hands and feet in that basin, yeah, and after, in the second part, they have no access. In the second part, in the holy place, only the priest can go. So they took the sacrifices and come in that area, in that room. What was in that room? Of course, I'm going to speak only very basic stuff. I'm not going in detail. The table of bread, where the bread was put in there, the altar of incense was a specific altar where they put some incense to burn for a good smell, for a perfume, for something specific. And that incense was made it for a specific kind of plants, and because it was not something usually. Not everybody can do that. So it was that specific for the priest to bring that incense before God. That fragrance was different. And the seven branches, and like a candelabra, yes, like lights, the lights with seven branches, if you, menorah, if you remember in Jewish, they still have this, in Christmas time we found and we put a decoration in this, like that candelabra with seven lights. All of this, they are completely very specific things spiritually. They have a meaning spiritually. This candelabra is a light of God. This is about the seven spirits. It's just one spirit. Seven characteristics of the spirits of God who are bringing light. We can see that in Revelation when Lord Jesus keeps these lights in his hand. So all these things was happening in the middle room. Yeah? So in the soulish room, if I can say that, if I can take our body was outside yard, yeah, everybody can go there. Soul, only the priest with the bread, with the incense, and with the lights, yeah. These are characteristics of the Holy Spirit, as I said. And in the third room was completely, was a small room, was not light in that room, was nothing else in that room, was just the Ark of the Covenant. It was like a box with two angels. Maybe you remember if you are looking in the history of two angels before. They are carved in that, in the specific, was from gold and everything else, like a box. And inside in that Ark was two stone of tables, the tables with 10 commandments of Moses, and Aaron's rod, and a pot with manna, that food who Israelites people received from heaven every morning. God gave them food in the desert, and God provided them 4 years in the desert with everything they need. That was amazing. Almost 3 million of people in the middle of the desert to have everything 4 years, and they still complain all the time. We see Jesus here. Spiritually, we see Jesus here in this, if I say, in this tabernacle, in these chambers, in these things what I try to bring to you. We see Jesus Christ in all this structure. We see the Lamb of God, New Covenant. We see the sacrifices for our sin. We see the priest, as our brother read in Hebrew 8. The priest, we see light, who is Lord Jesus Christ. I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world, he says, Lord Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the life and the light. And through his body, he was the veil who is broken. When he died on the cross of Calvary, the veil in the main temple who existed on that time was completely broken. And the veil was broken from the top to the bottom. It was very, very heavy, like a cord curtain, like a big curtain, very heavy curtain, and was completely broken from the top to the bottom. That was symbolized that through Lord Jesus Christ, we can go straight in the Holy of Holies. What is the Holy of Holies symbolized for us? We see the body, yeah, courtyard outside. We see the soul, emotion, mind, everything, we have feelings, will. The other part is the part where only God and only priest have access there. It's the Holy of Holies. In that part is the part of the Spirit. God was not speaking in the middle court, in the first part, second part, the voice of God was heard only in the holies of holies. So that means because God is spirit, He cannot speak with your soul, He's not speaking with your body, He wants to speak with your spirit. Spirit is the part of you, the dimension of you and I'm and me, who can connect through God, with God. The only way to connect with God is through your spirit. God give us the spirit. If you read in Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, if the people are not going to be saved, yeah, if they are not going to be saved, the spirit will go back to God, and the soul will go in hell, as the Bible says. Why God construct us in this way? Because the spirit is the only dimension of you who can connect with God. He's not speaking with these ears. He's not speaking with your body. He's speaking inside of you in your spirit. Deep inside in your spirit. And what's happened when you are saved? You are not saved in your soul. You are not saved in your body. You are saved inside of you in your spirit, in an inner man. The Holy Spirit came where? In your spirit. With fullness of Christ. When you receive Lord Jesus Christ and you are born again, the Holy Spirit is coming in your spirit. And from that spirit, the spirit of you, with spirit with God, as Romans said, it's one. It's one. We are perfect there. Nothing, absolutely nothing we have to change. We are perfect there. But now your spirit, enlightened by the Spirit of God, have to convince your soul, who was on the throne of your life, to let Him to guide you, to let Him to work. And after the soul, because it's in the middle, I understand first time, somebody tried to take three persons and try to explain with it. You are the soul, you are the spirit, you are the body. And how kind of relation are between them. It's very important to understand, because today, in our days, most of the churches, they don't make the differences between the soul and the spirit. Because it's not teaching in this way. And the Bible is full. I was completely amazed to see how clear the Bible is speaking about the spirit, about the soul, and about the body. We put together spirit and soul, it's something there, it's something, yeah, we don't see clear. But even the Word of God can separate. He is the one who can separate the spirit and the soul. The Word of God is the one. So, it's very, very, very tremendous important. If we want to come close to God, we bring His offering. We bring our offerings to Him. That is the first, yeah. We are going farther. We receive the light of Jesus Christ. We receive the bread. We have communion with Him. And we are not stopping here. Because if we are stopping here, we are only half. We didn't finish our worship. And we have to go through the veil with Lord Jesus Christ in the holies of holies, where you are only you and God. The noise from outside, you can't hear it. The noise from your mind and thinking, the way everything you are is the mind. You are crazy, you are doing that, all kinds of things. Yeah? Just try to separate this one when you are going to pray. First of all, your mind will be very, very difficult to stop it. Because the mind is saying, oh, you have to go there, you can't stay too much in prayer. Or you have to do something else, or some thoughts are coming in your mind. No, you let that mind, you let that soul in the will, and you are coming in the presence of God. No, there in the presence of God is darkness. It's only the light of God. Now there, you are one with Christ in your spirit. Read the book of Ephesians. I was amazed. I was every day I'm more amazed about that. When you are enlightened to understand what's happened, what important is our spirit. Even Lord Jesus Christ, in John chapter 4, when he was to the fountain, when he met that lady, And he had that conversation with that lady. The lady said, oh yeah, we pray here to the temple. And other people say, oh, Lord Jesus said, no, it's coming a time, and now is the time. And the real worshiper will be in spirit and truth. He didn't say in soul and body. In spirit and truth. In spirit and truth. The real worshipers Father wants, the ones in spirit and truth. So you have to go in your worship, in your approach to God, through all three segments, to go in the Holy of Holy, or you, or in you and God, in intimacy. You have to find Him. And your worship will be real and powerful, because there you understand your spirit is one with Christ. In Ephesians said, we are blessing with all kinds of blessing in Christ Jesus. Where? Yeah, no, in heavenly places. When I understand that, I need to confess that, maybe it's easy to understand. When I understand, in one of my prayers, I ask, Lord, explain me, how is this? You see, then, you open this door, you came in this room, imagine, you open the door, came in this room, and the room has no ceiling, the room has no floor, the room has no walls. In dimension of spirit, you have that dimension inside of you. It's hidden inside of you, in Christ Jesus. In dimension of spirit, is no time, is no space. There, God is living. Not in your soul, in your mind. Because your mind was formed by your parents, your mind was formed by the teachers, your mind was formed by the society you are living in. Yeah? And not every time the mind has the thinking of God. What said the Bible about your mind? Renew your mind. I can't work with you if you don't renew your mind after my words. When Lord Jesus Christ said, consider yourself dead, the old man was dead and new in Christ Jesus. We die together with Christ Jesus when we be baptized, and you rose again together with Him to another life. The other life is not yours, it's His life. You see, I will be with you. Where do you think? He said in John 14, said, if you believe me, if you obey my words, we will come and live with you. We, Father, Holy Spirit, and the Word, Lord Jesus Christ. We will come to live with you, and we will be with you forever. Where is that part where God is living in you? It's in your spirit. So this is very important. In our prayers, if we understand the meaning of the prayer, come before God. In Matthew said, when you come to give an offer, no, I'm going over because I'm not going to read. When you are coming before God, in Matthew said, if you want to bring something to God, first of all, if you have problems in your relationships, with your friend, with your neighbor, with somebody else, go back, leave the gift here, go back and fix the problems. Otherwise, I'm not accepting what you bring it to me. Go fix the problem with them, and after come and bring your gift. So there are some stages. After, you are going back in the middle. In the middle, you have to agree that Jesus is the light of the world. Then what said Jesus now? He said, you are the light of the world now. Because I'm living in you. I give you something very intimate. I want to speak with you something very, mark my life completely. Before to give my life to the Lord, I was in a school of art for painting. I used to do paintings. And I had a vision. I didn't understand that vision then, but now I understand it. I had a vision when Jesus came with a globe, like a ball, full of light, and gave it to me. And I receive it, and that globe goes inside of me, and the light disappeared. I didn't understand. I said, oh, wonderful, wonderful dream, wonderful vision. Let me put it on the picture. Let me make a picture. But more I was thinking about to do this, I renounced it. I said, oh, that image was so beautiful. I cannot explain exactly to show exactly how that image. I will ruin that image. So I let that image in my mind, to live in that mind. After I became a Christian, I gave my life to the Lord. I understand what means that. And Jesus said that to me. You are a vessel, you are a clay vessel. Break your vessel, bit by bit, for my light to go outside. So that means submission. That means humbleness. When I give myself on one side and leave Jesus to live, Jesus to show his light, Jesus to walk, Jesus to drive my car, Jesus to go to work, Jesus to speak with the people. Jesus Christ said very clear, I'm not speaking my words. I'm not doing my job. I'm doing the job of the Father. What job we are doing? Who guide us? Our soul, our mind, our emotions. We have to be guided by the Spirit of God. We have to be guided by Jesus. It's not your life. The Bible said, Paul said, you don't know. Your body is not your body anymore. Was a price paid for your body? Your life is not life anymore. Was the price paid for your life? So we became with Jesus one. In John 17, when Jesus prayed, Lord, to the Father, Lord, I give them your word. They are not from this world anymore. They are a new creation. The people, the world, is not going to accept them because they don't accept me. You are a new creation. What's happened if you take the Bible exactly as it is? When Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I was crucified together with Christ. I'm living, but I am not living anymore, but Christ living in me. And the life where I'm living now, I'm living in the faith of Him, in His faith, in not my faith. The translation is wrong here. In original said, I'm living not in my faith in Him. I'm living in His faith. We are one with Him in Christ. And so many verses enlighten my mind to understand. We need to consider ourselves as God considers us. So, if you want to find your identity, the real identity is not what your people say, is not what your parents say, is not you are considered yourself about you. Is what God considers your identity. It's very important to follow these things in our prayers. It's very important to bring to God our prayers from Christ Jesus' position in heavenly places. To accept of Him, we are more like Him. More understand, He said, how could we know God? Only through a knowledge of God. He put everything. To give up everything, to can live a new life, for this life, for the other life. But when you accept Him, we have to accept His leading in our life. His words. Oh, so many conflict will stop in our lives if we speak only what God said to speak. Exactly like Jesus said, I'm not speaking for myself. Not because He didn't know what to speak. He didn't comment too much with the people around Him. He said, I can comment, but I'm not doing. Because my mission is to do what the Father said. I'm doing what I see the Father doing. I'm speaking what I see, what He tells me to speak. I'm coming. He knows very well His identity. I came from the Father, and now I will go to the Father back. You know where you're coming from? You know where you are going? I'm not speaking about nationality, because each of us, we came from different countries. I'm not asking you about your identity, if you are a carpenter or if you are an electrician, that is not your identity. I ask you, who are you in Christ Jesus? And who is Christ Jesus for you? So this is main important. If your prayer wants to be listened and to have a good life, Lord Jesus said, He said, I came to bring you abundant life. Not quite a quarter of your life, not some life, not a little bit. He gave us all. In the Bible, I found these verses. Abundance life. Fullness of Christ. Fullness of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, the Bible said. But we need to accept it exactly as we accept our salvation through faith. Take that word, it's exactly as we have been saying. Exactly the same, we have to take this verse from the Bible. And it's going to happen. It's going to identify. He identified with you and with me on the cross of Calvary. He was not ashamed of us. We have to identify with him in the new life. So he was not ashamed to say, our brothers, no, my brothers, you are my brothers. And our family, father is your father, my father. So that is real family and relation. And if I can explain much better, maybe it will be maybe for another time, because the time is running so fast. But we need to understand the meaning, what it means to be a Christian. That means Christ living your life. Christ is in you. And this, in that time, you will be powerful. You will be without any fear. Everything is happening because he is living your life. The mind of Christ will guide us. And in Peter said, we are partakers in the divine nature. Okay, for some churches, you can be pushed out. Who do you think you are? I am what God said I am. I got what in the red it's in the Bible. I am what Lord Jesus said. This is the difference. This is another step. Don't remain in the middle court, but go inside in the Holy of Holies. You will hear the voice of God. You will know who you are. And you will find out your mission on this earth. Because nobody came on this earth without a plan. God wrote a book about every life of the people who are born on this earth. But they are not interesting. They are ignorant to find how God wants him to be. And they try to figure out to live this life from one day to the other. It was not the same with your Jesus Christ. If he is your Savior, if he is your Lord, he has to reign your life. A king is reigning. So often we put it in a corner, say, okay, stay Jesus, I'm doing my, I know what to do. No, ask him, and you will be blessed. And you will have the fullness of Christ, and you will have a good life, and you will know where you are going. You know, in the end, like our sister Lola was, she was a prayer, she was an intercessor. I knew that, I felt that, I spoke with her many times. He didn't speak too much about. He just asked you, what your children are doing, how is your life? And after that, she goes in his place, in the Holy of Holy, and speak with God about you, about other people, and the miracles came. So this is the point to understand the scripture, exactly as it's written. Not like we learn from other people or from other things. No, we consider, no, don't stay in the middle. I invite you to go in the Holy of Holies. The Lord be glorified in your life and in our church and all over. Amen.
Amen.